I'm Richard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 144 for the week starting 24 April 2016.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll find South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we chat about Africa One.
Also this week, MTN cuts off more subscribers in Nigeria, Vumatel raises more money, and Dean Smuts passes away.
Let's get the show on the road.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
The intermittent show known as Talk Central. We don't seem to manage to get this going every week, but when we do, it's usually a good show. So let's get right into it. Let's start with our quiz. For those who haven't listened to the show in the last month or two or three, we do a quiz at the beginning of the show just to see how on your toes are. No prizes, just for the fun of it. Just to see how well you've been keeping up with the tech news. So, Richard, do you want to kick off with the first question? And we'll obviously provide the answers at the end of the show.
Yes, so this was featured on Tech Central last week. How many live TV channels is DStv now streaming online? If you're a fan, it's a good one.
Yeah, and I've actually started. I played around with it on my TV the other day. Unfortunately, it only seems to stream in standard definition, which is a bit disappointing. Mm. But it was quite cool to be able to watch. I was watching the Sharks against the Lions, I think it was. Nice. Streaming over the internet.
Nice.
So SuperSport is on there, so it's nice to see DStv in this online streaming business.
Doing it properly.
But not in HD yet, unfortunately. Anyway, it's a difficult question, so we'll accept within the nearest the nearest 10. The second question, what type of rocket developed by SpaceX that landed successfully... badly written. Let me rephrase this. What was the type of rocket developed by SpaceX that landed successfully on a barge floating in the ocean recently?
And what a phenomenal feat that was.
It was an incredible video.
Man.
Go check it out.
Third question. Many people forget that the Gupta family started out in SA in the ICT sector and still have a big investment in the industry. What is their ICT company called?
Fourth question. How much has Uber cut its UberX prices in South Africa by for the winter months?
And the fifth question, the Advertising Standards Authority ordered Cell C to take down a billboard claiming it offered the widest network coverage. Who was the complainant?
Nice easy one, that. Anyway, let's get straight into the show. So we've got a new undersea cable coming.
More bandwidth.
Africa One, more bandwidth, lots of bandwidth. This one is going to have a design capacity, wait for it, of 40 terabits per second.
But can you torrent on it?
I did a couple of calculations. It means you could download 5,000 1 gigabyte movies in 1 second.
Sure. So maybe MultiChoice should use that for their streaming services. We can get HDR.
4K.
That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal.
Yeah. Anyway, obviously that's its design capacity using 100G technology over 3 fiber pairs. It won't have. It won't have that sort of capacity to start with because they don't light up the whole system because it's quite expensive to do that. But they're going to start with several terabits per second. But already the project seems to have run into a little bit of difficulty, and the Telkom has come out and said that they haven't committed to it financially yet. Well, that's a bit of a strange statement because it's only at the MOU, what they call the MOU stage, the Memorandum of Understanding stage. So no one has actually committed anything substantial to this project at this stage. They are expected to make their commitments, I believe, by June, when they'll then seek the services of a company that will do the construction and maintenance of the system. Now, these are typically companies like Alcatel-Lucent, for example, that operate these big cable-laying ships. But it's an interesting decision anyway to put the cable along this route. So Telkom and MTN are backing it, as well as Telecom Egypt, Saudi telecommunications company, and PCCW Global, which is a Hong Kong-based telco that actually put out the statement around this. Now, it's an interesting route they're taking because there's already two cables already running along this general direction. Mm. That's EASY, the East Africa Submarine System, and SEACOM, both of which were built in the last 5 or 6 years. So they're talking about building this cable now. It's going to be a bigger cable. It's going to extend all the way to Southeast Asia, as well as up to Iran and Pakistan, and then on to Europe. So not covering exactly the same route, but for the largest portion along the coast of Africa, it's certainly going to be covering the same routes as SEACOM and EASY. So an interesting decision. Really, the I see today that Easy has come out. Chris Wood from who I think is the vice chair of Easy, of the Easy Consortium, has said that that he doesn't believe there's space for another cable along this route and that it's completely unnecessary. But I guess we need to take that with a pinch of salt as well, because you know, these guys are going to be competing head on with Easy. So it's a bit like a competitor saying, it's a bit like, you know, SA Brewery saying we don't need Namibian breweries in this market, because we're very good at supplying beer.
Also the capacities, I guess, with each new cable being laid, you know, the capacity that is able to push would exponentially grow. And maybe not now, but in 10 years' time, when there's a need for maybe one set of bulk or larger capacity, you know, it could make something like the Easy or Seacom cables obsolete in some industries.
They will eventually be obsolete. And these cables do have a limited lifespan. I think it's something like 20 years. And then they get decommissioned. Or they're still used for a period after that, but, you know, they're not actively serviced, and eventually they fall into disuse. And we saw that with the original SAT-1 and then the SAT-2 cable. And I'm sure the same thing's going to happen to SAT-3 in the next next 5 years or so. Because the capacity they offer is so limited anyway that these new cables make them redundant in a way. But one of the advantages of this new cable route is that there's additional redundancy. We saw what happened at the beginning of this year when both Seacom went down in Egypt and the I think it was Wax went down in the UK. Somewhere near the landing station, and South African internet users, the South African internet was quite badly disrupted by that. So hopefully, with a cable system like this in place, there'd hopefully be some sort of redundancy in place. But of course, that still relies on the telecommunications operators and the internet service providers actually buying redundant links on these systems. But it's an interesting development, and you know, it's not finalized yet. It could still collapse, but certainly. It looks like there's commitment here, even if Telkom has made some disparaging remarks about it. It certainly sounds like it's going to go ahead with big backers like MTN and PCCW, which are among some of the biggest telcos in the world.
For me, another thing is, you know, the capacity going out of the country could also allow us to push more stuff out into the world, you know, especially when it comes to bandwidth. You need solid bandwidth. It could only be a good thing for us.
And would help, I think, with latency as well for connecting to, particularly to countries like China. China at the moment, I think we probably connect via the United States and across the Pacific or something, if not going the other route through Russia or one of those cables, the CMEWE cable, which is the best named cable.
CMEWE.
So it would provide an alternative route to China. And I think would probably, you know, they were talking about doing that BRICS cable at one point a couple of years ago. That's gone very quiet. And I suspect if this project goes ahead, then the BRICS cable project is dead in the water. But these things do get announced, and you never know whether they're actually going to happen or not until those construction agreements are signed with the suppliers. But hopefully this one gets green-lighted. It looks like a good project, and it should help with our internet and bring prices down.
And again, it's so nice to see that we're finding a place where we can compare our infrastructure, relatively speaking, to a first-world infrastructure.
Yeah, and with the fiber to the home that's being rolled out at an aggressive pace, I'm going to talk a bit more about that just now. It's really encouraging to see the sort of infrastructure we're getting in the ground. And it's all being driven by the private sector, it must be said. None of this is government-led. It's private money that's gone into these undersea cables. It's private money that's investing in fibre to the home. Telkom is you can be sure Telkom wouldn't be investing as aggressively as it is in FTTH if it didn't have all these startup providers like Vumatel and Link Africa, etc., nipping at its heels. So so it's good stuff. The more investment, I think, the better.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So what's next? MTN. They put out their quarterly trading update for the first quarter to 31 March, and they cut off another 4.5 million subscribers in Nigeria who were unregistered in terms of the SIM card registration laws up there. The share price didn't seem to react too much. It bounced around a bit, and I think it's down about another 2% on Friday. But interesting development. They say they're being very aggressive about this, and they're taking a position. They're taking a very conservative position in terms of what the regulators might interpret to be a registered subscriber or not. So they're obviously they've taken fright from that massive fine that was imposed in Nigeria, in which they're still attempting to get resolved. They've obviously decided they're going to take a position, not just in that market, but all the markets in which they operate now, to avoid the surprise of having a huge fine imposed on them for SIM card registration, for not perhaps complying fully with the regulations and the laws in the various markets in which they operate. But it's had a big impact on their subscriber numbers in Nigeria now, down to 57 million. I think they were sitting around 62 million at this time last year. So that's a big market decline in what should be a growing industry.
And also, I mean, 4.5 million, that's a lot of SIM cards. You can only wonder what these things were used for if they're not registered through the, you know, through the legal channels.
Yeah. I believe it's the SIM card registration law is quite onerous up there, and it's quite difficult as well to get people to approve their addresses and all that sort of thing. And it's a very different environment to South Africa. It's a very difficult and almost hostile environment in which to operate. So you've got to have some sympathy for MTN in this whole mess. But I think MTN has huge opportunity for them still up in Nigeria. You know, they've just got access to 800 megahertz spectrum. They're starting to roll out a 4G network. There is no fixed line infrastructure to speak of in Nigeria, so it's going to be a mobile-only market. And I think there must be massive pent-up demand amongst Nigerians for access to the internet.
Yeah.
So I think there's a huge opportunity still for MTN up there, even with all the troubles that it's been experiencing with the regulators up there. So I think they're right to stay put and to take a conservative approach to this whole thing. But yeah, let's keep an eye on that. They haven't had the greatest 12 months, and the MTN South African operation has also been struggling. In fact, some new research out this week shows that they're really struggling with customer service and customer satisfaction, that their rivals are doing much better in that regard. So they've got a lot of work to do, both in South Africa and up in Nigeria. But still a lot of potential in that business, because they operate in markets where internet penetration is poor. And they are going to be the company, in many respects, that delivers that internet access. And as we've seen in all markets around the world, there's just insatiable demand for bandwidth, to get online. And it's going to be no different in Nigeria and the other developing markets in which MTN operates.
I mean, as a long-standing, just on a side note there, as a long-standing MTN subscriber, I'm actually continually surprised to hear these things, because I haven't had a days with a bad service from them. But more importantly,
weren't you affected by the outage earlier this year? Remember, they were offline for 48 hours.
Yes, no, I wasn't affected. I didn't notice it, but I certainly didn't have any issues with it. But the point I was trying to make is, you know, we were in Clarence last weekend for one of the mountain bike races, and there are still places in Clarence where, if you're a Vodacom subscriber, you are offline. Only MTN reaches, and it's not far out of the city. I mean, I'm out of the little town.
Yeah.
You know, and it's things like that that make me go, okay, but how is it possible that this company can be rated that badly?
Yeah.
So, obviously, there is something wrong. Just hope they get the act together, because I certainly haven't had those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we need to take a break at this point, but we'll be back after this message.
Chicken or beef? Chicken or beef? Chicken.
There are so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information. Hello world. Hello information. Hello uploads and downloads. Hello streaming videos and low latency. Hello blogs and vlogs. Hello crystal clear video calls. Hello increased productivity. Hello online learning. Hello cloud. Hello long lost friends and missed connections. Hello limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, welcome back to the show. So Vumatel, how's your Vumatel fiber going?
Oh, man, if I can tell you how much in love I am with my fiber connection. It has changed within the space of a month. My entire online life has changed. Everything is instant. You know, I upload a lot of video, and I mean, uploading movies to video to YouTube takes 20th of the time it used to, and I get a solid 20 meg connection.
Yeah.
it is phenomenal what fiber does and does to your life. So yeah, I'm very happy, very, very happy.
Yeah. And you're just on a 20 meg connection.
Yeah, just on a 20. I'll upgrade to a 50. I'm in a trial with Celsius at the moment, so they covered my first 3 months. After that, then I can upgrade to a 50 meg.
Yes.
And I'm certainly going to be doing that. I can only imagine what double the speed must feel like. Yes, I'm still restricted by international standards, but it's funny how, you know, once you have a decent broadband connection, you actually realize where certain online servers or websites or streaming services, when they are too slow, you know, it's not the bottleneck isn't your home connection. It's actually a server on the internet.
Right. Right, so anyway, Vumatel, which is really emerging as the leading pioneer in the fiber to the home market, has announced that they've raised a significant amount of financing from Standard Bank and have said that they intend spending 3 billion rand over the next 2 years, dramatically stepping up their FTTH footprint.
Nice.
So I'm just looking at the article we ran on. The Standard Bank investment will provide the company with the resources it needs to speed up the delivery of fiber broadband and expand into new markets. And this is comes after, I think, less than a year after they announced that they were raised a significant tranche of funding from Investec. So very interesting, fast-growing business this. I wouldn't be surprised if they become the target of a takeover at some point, perhaps by someone like Telkom or Vodacom. And that may be what management has in mind for the business, but in the meantime, they've really got their heads down and they really are expanding rapidly. In fact, they've, as the Hardy Dars come flying over, what an unholy noise. They've expanded into the suburb next to me now, so I'm kind of hoping that they
extend
into my suburb soon.
You haven't heard anything more from Telkom? Oh, you said
Telkom. Telkom is promising to deliver fiber here this quarter sometime. Thanks for the interruption, guys. Wow, what a noise.
No, nature.
Vumatel has the joys of recording a podcast outside, I guess, in Africa.
Yeah.
Interesting development. Lots of money raised. As I say, I think these guys could very well be the target of a takeover if they haven't been given offers already. Wouldn't surprise me if they have.
Mm.
They're doing well. And everyone I speak to about Vumatel just raves about them and says they've, the service is brilliant. They do a great job when they come into your neighborhood of informing you of what's going on and what's why your pavement is being dug up and then connecting you.
Mm. The process is very effortless. Now they did that well. I think they looked at what Telkom is doing and said we need to up our game in every other aspect of it.
Which isn't that hard.
But yeah, no, very good experience. And I don't know anybody. The only people that complain about Vumatel that I know of are people that are upset that the pavements are dug up.
Yes.
And I think it's a bit of an unnecessary complaint simply because this is for the good of the neighbourhood or good of South Africa.
Exactly. I remember hearing Jenny Chris Williams complaining on 702 when Vumatel first started digging up Parkhurst about how her precious daisies had been dug up.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that this company we met with at the groundbreaking ceremony 18 months ago.
Yeah, wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't. Yeah. And look at where they are now. I mean, back then we were all secretly hoping that they would quickly expand.
Yeah.
And it seems almost overnight that they have. Mm. And it's very impressive.
Yeah, I was driving through, I can't even remember where I was, driving through Joburg suburbs recently, and I was amazed. Every second suburb I was coming to, I saw the pink Vumatel sign saying, "Fiber's coming to this area."
You know, if you really want to play a bad prank on somebody, take a whole bunch of those posters, put it up in a street somewhere. Put it up in Duncan Street, and you will see a very unhappy editor.
I will hunt you down. Anyway, that's Vumatel. And then last an item of news, something that actually broke this Friday morning, and that's the untimely passing of Democratic Alliance MP Dean Smuts. I don't know if you ever dealt with her at all. I used to interact with her a considerable amount back when she was the Shadow Minister of Communications.
Mm.
I think it was around the mid-2000s for a couple of years. In fact, yeah, she was the... I think she was the shadow minister when Roy Padiachi was the minister, if I'm not mistaken. Or it could have been when Roy Padiachi was the deputy minister. But the news is coming out this morning that she's passed away. She wasn't that old. I think she was in her mid-60s, 66 or 67. She really was an interesting woman. She was a strong constitutionalist, but she... She wasn't her area of expertise, but she really did tackle that communications portfolio. And I remember having some very spirited discussions with her and with Roy Padiachi at the time about ICASA, think they were both having a big battle about the Chapter 9 constitutional protection of bodies like ICASA, and ICASA particularly. There was a big fight going on about an amendment to legislation and how ICASA councillors would be appointed, and she really got stuck in with both feet and really understood the legal issues and the constitutional issues around it. She was a very feisty individual. And she went on to I think she was also in the Home Affairs portfolio for, if I'm not mistaken, before that, and most recently in constitutional development, I think. But sad to hear the news of her passing at quite a young age. She was one of the better MPs in Parliament. So sad news about her. So, winners and losers. We don't actually have a winner this week, but we do have a loser, which is kind of obvious.
Yeah, very. And yeah, such unfortunate things being said.
Yeah. Now, I do think his conversation, the part of his conversation was taken a little bit of out of context by whoever it was that first reported this, but the fact is he did say these things. Mm. So our loser this week is José dos Santos, for saying some rather sexist things during an interview with Cliff Central. There was a real outcry on social media, on Twitter and elsewhere, and I thought our cartoonist Germ had quite a good dig at him. I don't know if you saw that cartoon.
I saw that.
which I'm sure he didn't appreciate. But the comments were, you're the CEO of a company, you do have to, I think, be a little careful about what you say in public. I think, while a lot of what he said on that Cliff Central show, and I have listened to it, was absolutely fine. There were a couple of remarks there that were really off colour, and so he probably deserved a lot of the flack that he got on social media in the days that followed. But he's an obvious pick for our loser of the week for this week's show. Richard, what is your pick this week?
Well, if you follow me or have seen me on social media, you would have seen some of the photographs I've been posting over the last week. And the pick I have is, and I like to think of this product as a camera rather than anything else, simply because it's this tool that's enabled me to do so much. But it's the DJI Phantom 3 Advanced drone. And I was blown away from the moment.
What is that? A helicopter gunship?
it's a quadcopter, also known as a drone. If you do a quick Google search, you'll probably have seen these things around or see them on TV. They're very, very kind of particular shape and size, and okay. They're quite popular all over. But the DJI 3, it's not the latest model. The 4 has just been launched in South Africa. But the reason why I went for this one, it was the best DJI up until the point of the 4 being launched.
Yeah.
And also, it's at a very good price point now.
Okay.
So it's about 16,000 rand just for the drone. In itself, again, I'm looking at it as a camera. It's not a toy.
Yeah,
the camera footage that you are able to shoot with this thing is absolutely phenomenal. You've got a range of about 5 kilometers from where you're standing, with a height limitation of about 500 meters. You can really see that, as a photographer, as a videographer, the kind of things you'll be able to do with this is absolutely phenomenal. Now, legalities and license issues aside, because that's still virtually impossible to attain for any average kind of drone flyer. So for me, it's very much a hobby still. Sure. I'm flying as a hobbyist. But this product is absolutely amazing. If you're into photography or videography, I would certainly suggest you to try this out.
I've seen you showed me some of the footage before we started recording, and it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's essentially a quadcopter with a gimbal-based camera situated below it. So you get...
The images are so stable and smooth. Beautiful, beautiful coverage. And you took some shots of a mountain bike racer, of a Clarence.
Yes. I'm going to use it for a lot of these kind of events where I shoot the races, running events and all these things. It's very much an experiment for me too, to see what I'm able to do. But such a great tool, such a great camera. And the technology that goes in it, I find it hard to believe that this is a consumer product. This was probably military grade spec, not less than a decade ago, I would imagine.
Probably used by Hollywood studios until recently.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a good point. Hollywood studios, up until the time that these products were released, you had to spend thousands of rands to get the same rig to do the kind of things you can do with another camera.
Yeah.
Now, for under 20 grand, so to speak, you can really achieve the same quality. Mm. I mean, for a few thousand rand more, you can get the Phantom 3 Professional, which is a 4K camera. The Advance has got a 2.7K, which is more than sufficient. I don't edit in 4K. Mm. I don't think there's a need for what I'm doing yet. But yeah, super impressive. The technology in terms of GPS that goes in there is phenomenal. It hovers in place. You can set up route points. You can set it to follow you. You can install third-party software. It's called Litchi, that allows you to actually set up a shot. So you plan the shot from where the drone rises, yeah, where it needs to fly to, at which height,
yeah,
where the camera needs to point. So you can set up a perfect shot in a controlled environment if you want to do that.
Yeah.
And something that you weren't able to do with any other equipment a few years ago. Mm. It's absolutely phenomenal.
I like the follow you feature. That's quite cool. So if I go on a trail run, for example, I could get the drone to follow me for the entire trail run.
Yes, as long as there's no trees around, you might have a problem with that. But yeah. Phantom 4, interestingly enough, actually has object avoidance technology built in, so it'll compensate for this.
Wow.
But yeah, no, this is. I'll definitely be sharing a lot more footage online over the coming weeks and months.
Cool. Have you got some stuff on YouTube already, because then we can just share a video.
We'll put a link into this. The video that I shot actually for last week in Clarence Ashburton mountain bike series.
Okay.
You can go check out the shots there.
Okay, fantastic. We'll put that YouTube link in with that. With the entry. So I've actually got two picks this week. The first is a TV show which I'm really enjoying, and I don't think I've mentioned on the show before, although I have a funny feeling I might have. So if I'm repeating myself, please forgive me. But if you haven't seen the show Halt and Catch Fire yet, Halt and Catch Fire, go and grab
it. First I've heard of this.
It's very good. Okay, good. I'm not repeating myself then, I hope. It's an excellent show. It's about the early days of the computer industry, the PC industry, and it seems to me to be loosely modeled on Compaq. And the creation of the clone PC industry. Now, it's fictional, but it's very much... there's a lot of attention to detail, so it's technically accurate for the time. And there's a lot of discussion about the components in PCs and the software around and all this sort of stuff, and it's technically accurate for the time. And it's a really good, really entertaining show. So it's great to see Hollywood and the big studios tackling... IT issues.
Nice.
I suppose the audience is big enough now to warrant it.
Yeah. Where is this available? Where can I watch it?
I have no idea.
Is it available online?
It's available online.
So it's not a multi-choice.
It could be. I don't know. Let's just say it's available. So if you're looking for it, go and Google it. And you will find it. I'm sure it's on Netflix or something.
Yeah.
So that's Halt and Catch Fire. So check that out. And then my other pick this week is the new Garmin Forerunner 630 sports watch, which is pretty amazing. I own the Garmin Forerunner 620 before it, and I can tell you that this is a major, major upgrade to that running watch. It just makes me wonder the pace of innovation currently in the sports watch market and what the Garmin Forerunner 640 and 650 might look like, given how much change there's been between the 620 and 630. But I'm going to do a comprehensive review of this watch in the coming weeks. I haven't unfortunately been able to test the actual GPS running component in any sort of detail yet, because I've been a bit ill over the last week or two. But the what they've really done with this watch, it built in a lot of smartwatch functionality into it. So you pair it with your phone over Bluetooth, and it'll display your incoming calls, your emails, your WhatsApp messages, all that sort of thing, which is very handy if you leave your phone in another room, or as long as it's within Bluetooth range, or you're in a meeting, for example. You can just have a glance at your watch and see what the call is that's coming in. So full smartwatch functionality. But the thing I really like about this watch, beyond the smartwatch functionality, which is brilliant, is the fact that you can now go into the Garmin online store and download customized watch faces.
Oh, yes. I can see you've got multiple data displayed on there. Nice.
Yeah, so the watch face I'm using at the moment, I forget exactly what it's called, but it's really good. It's displaying the sunrise and sunset times for my current location. It shows how many steps I've walked today, the distance I've walked, the battery life left, and how many messages I have on my cell phone. And you can customize this to display just about any data you want. What I really like about the 630 as well is the screen is very readable in direct sunlight. In fact, it's better to look at it in direct sunlight than in a darkened room, in which case you'd want to use the backlight. But it's a major step up on the 620. I'm very impressed with this watch. So look out for the full review, detailed review that I plan to do in the next few weeks, once I've had a chance to actually put some mileage on it and test out the running functionality as well.
Nice.
Great. Well, that's the show, except for the quiz results. So let's do those.
Yeah.
let me kick it off. The first question was, how many live TV channels is DSTV now streaming online? And the answer is 46. So if you've got anywhere between 36 and 56, we'll accept it.
Well, that's a lot of channels, actually. I mean,
it is a lot of channels, actually. I think they only have about 120 channels, 130 channels in total on DSTV Premium. The downside of this DSTV Now is that you have to be a DSTV subscriber, so you have to have the set-top box and the PVR and everything else before you can use it. So it's not a streaming-only option.
It's a pity. Hopefully they'll do that at some point in the future.
I'm sure they will, and hopefully they bring HD to it as well sooner rather than later.
The second question: what was the type of rocket developed by SpaceX that landed successfully on a barge floating in the ocean? And that is, of course, the beautiful Falcon 9.
Stunning. And just if you haven't seen it, and I'm sure you have seen it, but if you haven't seen it, go to YouTube right now. Pause this podcast. Go to YouTube, type in Falcon 9 landing barge, and I'm sure you'll find it. Third question. Many people, as the Hardy Dawes start up again, when many people forget that the Gupta family started out in South Africa... Oh, let me rephrase that. Many people forget that the Gupta family started out in South Africa in the ICT sector and still have a big investment in the industry. What is their ICT company called? And the answer, of course, is Sahara Holdings or Sahara Computers.
Sahara Computers. I remember them when I started as a tech journalist. I mean, they were quite active in the industry back then. That's really good prices. That's what I remember. Yeah. Some really good prices.
You don't hear them about them as much as you used to.
Yeah. I only see them as I drive on the highway towards Midrand. The building is still there.
Yeah, next to New Age and AN7.
That's it. The fourth question, how much has Uber cut its UberX prices in South Africa for the winter months? The answer, up to 20%. There's been some lashback from some drivers.
Some drivers, yeah.
But I think it's a very good thing. I mean, it shows you, a company like Uber can really revolutionize something as simple as the taxi industry
Uber is a brilliant model. It's a brilliant model.
And a way to get more customers when you know people aren't going to be driving as much.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
And I'll be using Uber this weekend to go to the Carnival concert. So,
wonderful.
So I'm looking forward to using them and looking forward to the cheaper prices.
20%.
And the last question this week was the advertising. This is an easy one, of course. The Advertising Standards Authority ordered Cell C to take down a billboard claiming it offered the widest network coverage. Who was the complainant? And that was, of course, Vodacom. And that's our show. As always, if you've got any feedback, info@techcentral.co.za or leave a comment under the post. Until next time, hopefully next Friday, but we can't make any guarantees. From Rehout and myself, cheers.
Ta-ta.